right, let us agree in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a time as this. Thank you, Father, for your mercies, for your loving kindness, your consistency, your faithfulness, for your unwavering nature. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for your life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your word. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the power as in your word. We receive tonight revelation as found in your Son Jesus. We decree that tonight we are edified and you, Jesus, is glorified. Amen. Amen. All right. What are we doing? It's good to see you, brother. Yes, we have been talking on a number of things, and it's been a journey for a while right now, talking about the gospel, the idea, the concept of the gospel, and the necessity and the way of communicating it in words. And at a point we addressed the subject or the concern of mixing singing music with teaching the word, and we addressed that, explaining where music in the gospel has its place, giving a distinguishing, or we distinguished the purpose of music or singing or music ministry, that's ministering by the word in songs, from we distinguish that from the ministry of reconciliation. And we explain that everything has its place. The words that we sing are to edify the church, not necessarily for evangelism, because evangelism entails a thorough explanation, but singing often has a punchline nature. All right, it does not necessarily give an explanation to things except believers who would understand the things that are being sung. Hence, music is for evangelism. Not to say that when you are singing, the power of God cannot work or something like that. Obviously, we're not saying that. And then we got to explain the nature of evangelism and the method of how to evangelize, explaining that we ought to evangelize by the power of God's Spirit, by the power of His Word, right? If you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4, you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 4 just shortly before I make this point. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4 quickly. Hebrews chapter 4. You know, it's been a very, 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 very busy week. Busy week, you know. Everyone knows how to now, you know, multitask. But you see, one thing you have to understand is that as believers, we have a mission, an eternal mission that is beyond the responsibilities of the physical, of the natural. Praise God. So this is the most important. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, no matter how busy you get as a believer, you must always ensure that you are still in the plan, in the purpose, in God's will for your life. It's quite essential, because at the end of the day, everything that you fought for would only be used by someone else, as Solomon helped us see. Solomon said he's seen an abomination under the sun, how that someone works so hard and then dies and someone else eats the fruit of their labor. That's a mystery. That is a vanity, rather. Ecclesiastes, book of Ecclesiastes. So would you labor so much for things in the natural that do not have eternal value for yourself, or would you now labor for the things that are enduring even unto everlasting life? That's what scripture says. Look at Galatians 4 it says in Galatians 4, if you look at Galatians 4 verse, sorry, not Galatians 4 now, Galatians chapter 6, It says in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You see that? So you see that there are certain things that have different values. The one that you sow according to the flesh, that's the carnal, earthly, are those things that are temporal, that do not, that cannot endure till eternity. Those are things that are corruptible. And we often start our series by letting us know that God has instructed us to lay up for ourselves treasures that are in heaven, that is eternal value, right? By preaching the word, by discipling people, by hearing God's word, by growing, praying for believers, ministering to the sick, ministering in all the supernatural of God. See that? So we said, how do we minister? We minister by the word. Hebrews chapter 4, quickly. Verse 12 says, for the word of God. Okay, let's see verse 11. Let us labor. Hebrews 4 verse 11. Hebrews 4 verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of what? Of disobedience. Right? Of disobedience. It says, for the word of God is quick. The word quick there is the word living. Is quick. Right? All right, is quick and is what? Powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's that word, two-edged, means a two-mouthed sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. You see that? Dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You see that? And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents, or the intentions of the heart. So if God were to tell you to evangelize, if God told you evangelize, go and win souls, and you're thinking in your mind, rather than preaching the word that is suitable to affect the soul in and transform the soul into God's vessel, or into the shape, in the image that God has designed or desired that soul to be, rather than do that, I would rather just give them biscuits, you know, give them, organize a party for them, or maybe organize a social meeting, or organize a business seminar, right? And invite unbelievers, as we call them, because we don't know what unbelievers would be in that context, because obviously we are not organizing a meeting that is a Christian in the first place. You know, when you do the stuff like that, it's kind of funny. So rather than do that which is potent, which is suitable, which is appropriate for the desire of God, you see that, rather than do that, you then say, I'd rather just do some concerts. Let's do some concert. No, he said, for the word, look at this. Hebrews and Romans chapter 1 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's what? The power of God unto salvation. That is the power of God to save. So the way God will save a man is through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel in words. It says to everyone that believeth, and to Jew first and then to the Greek. So back to that Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 verse 12 sorry it said it is powerful, it is living. So what you are seeing, the text of the scriptures are not mere words. They are not simply, they are not just literature. They're not just a storybook. They carry with it eternal promises. That is, they carry with it the potency to make man to be an eternal being. Hallelujah. That is the potency of God's word, of the simple texts of the scripture. Paul says, to them that perish, it is but foolishness. But to us that are saved, he said, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1. So when you evangelize, would you set up a canopy and say, let's just share gifts. Someone's asking me, can we just go out and share biscuits, food, stuff, edibles and gifts to people so you can attract them. So you can attract them. Hallelujah. Excuse me. That notion where we think that every and anything should be incorporated into the gospel excuse me one second, that notion where we think that everything should be incorporated into the gospel is a misconception of the term called evangelism. We are not going on a charitable course when we are going to evangelize, not necessarily. Okay, now, have you ever thought about how people get influenced? Just think about the world. Think about the world today. How do people get influenced with bad worldviews or theories or philosophies of life? All right, whether it's about race, whatever, anything. Just think about it. Do you think that at any point they needed someone to give them food, money, to get influence in their minds? No, they did not. But you see, just by spreading out words in different locations where they met, that was how you influenced them. You discover that it's either people are influenced in schools, so the curriculum that is supposed to indoctrinate people will be found in institutions, either in schools, hospitals, what, on social media, or events. Hallelujah. That's how people get influenced, majorly by words. I would say I haven't looked at the statistics of it. Well, I think I would say if I were to give a percentage from my own little experience, experience in terms of things I've observed, it seems like it's going up to 90%. 90% of things that we hear and we know are just communicated by words. Things that people say. Doctrines have always been by words. But believers think they are so loving that they substitute that word. They substitute the... Let's not dwell too much there. But we think we are so wise, we substitute the word for something else. Whereas Jesus in Matthew's Gospel 28, he said, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel." Or he said, "Make disciples." That is, go and educate. That word is making disciples, like I said, is to make students, to educate people. So that means your education would go beyond you going to approach people individually, or maybe doing a busking project. You know, when you have your mic open air, you preach, that's good. But it goes beyond that. It goes into how you can affect institutions. I've heard of people that, you know, seen people that go from uni to uni organizing events where they can come and have discussions for the gospel. That is all manner of people of all faith. And by prayers, God will draw people there. It's just strategic. You go to where you don't need to go and start sharing biscuit everywhere to every homeless person. The government has such responsibility, not you as a believer. You don't have that resources. You don't have that resource. You don't have it. That's not your deal. It's not your responsibility. That's humanitarianism. That's not evangelism, not soul winning. If you want to win a soul, you go about it the way Jesus went about it. If Jesus did not go about sharing bread and wine and fish to every poor person, because there were poor people in his days, even Jesus didn't even have, hallelujah. Peter and Paul, you think they didn't have silver and gold? Peter was a businessman, for goodness sake. But Acts 3 from verse 1, says on the time of the when it was time for prayers, they met a man at the beautiful gates who could not walk. He couldn't walk on his feet. He was impotent. Right? He was helpless. And the man said he was begging for money. You know, Bilal said, oh, come on, take money. Take money. Take. Just manage this one, yeah? God bless you. See, Jesus loves you. Dear believer, you are making a disgrace of the glory of God that dwells in you. Hallelujah. That's not the way we go about it. Peter said, silver and gold I have not. Cap. You know that word? You know the Greek word, cap? Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Peter was a businessman. He was a fisherman. He had money. I'm sure he had eaten that day. I don't think he was looking for food. Hallelujah. He said, I don't have silver and gold. That's not true. That's not a literal statement. He says, compared to what I have, silver and gold can't solve your problem, sir. That's not what you need. But what I have is in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, rise up and walk. Then he picked him and he helped him up. And the Bible says, and that feet which could was weak received strength. And the man began to leap and jump. Hallelujah. That is the word of reconciliation. We'll get into that a little bit. Get into that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So, you know, last week we I don't know if you guys took note of that. Sorry, excuse me. If you guys took note of that, but last week we explained the reason that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important to the gospel. We explained what it meant when Peter said, oh, by the resurrection of Jesus have we done this. So we just want to touch that a little bit again. We want to touch that a little bit again to explain the meaning or the importance, not just importance now, but the logic, the rationale behind the value or that seeming emphasis on the revelation, on the resurrection of Jesus. Why does it seem like the resurrection of Jesus? Someone say, the greatest thing is that Jesus resurrected. He resurrected. Why? Okay, he resurrected. Okay, he rose from the dead. So what's the point? It means that everyone can have eternal life. How? Give me a practical logic, equation on why resurrecting from the dead. He's not the first person to resurrect from the dead. Jesus is not. Jonah died, right? Amen? Come on. Jonah died in the belly of the fish. Jesus said, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, right? For 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, right? Okay? And on the third day, he shall rise again. That means Jonah died, right? And he rose again from there. God raised him from there. Jonah said, out of Sheol, did you hear my voice? The word Sheol means the place of the dead. All right. So, Jesus wasn't the first person to rise from death. So why is his resurrection so important to the gospel or the ministry of the gospel, or salvation of souls? We said, if you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, now I would run through this very quickly. So I would really request that you follow me on this, please. All right, look at the book of Acts chapter 2 now. Let's say verse 21. Hallelujah. Okay, let's keep verse 21. All right. Verse 25. All right, verse 25. We'll see from verse 25. All right. Verse 25 says, for David speaketh concerning him. That's Jesus Christ. Now, this is the Pentecost day. We know that already. 49 days after, the resurrection. 49 days after the Passover, rather. It says, for David speaketh concerning him. That's Jesus. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved, should not be shaken. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. So he said, I foresaw the Lord. Verse 25, he foresaw the Lord, right? The Lord. Where did he foresee the Lord? Who is the Lord? Because we're going to know that to David, the Lord is Yahweh. And we know who the Lord is now in Revelation. That's Jesus. So it says, I foresaw the Lord always. He's quoting the book of Psalms 16. We'll go there soon. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For it's on my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover, did my flesh rest in hope. So he knew that he was about to die, but he knew that there's a hope that he will be raised from the dead. Now, David's talking about him, not the Lord. It says, therefore, did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, my flesh rest in hope, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. Now, why did David hope that God will raise him from the dead? Why was David hoping that God will raise him from the dead? Let's just read on. Verse 27 still. It says, because thou will not leave my soul in hell or Hades. It says, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. So he now says, thy holy one. Was David speaking of himself as the holy one or another person? The Lord? Was he speaking that the Lord would die? All right? Amen? So it says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. So why did David... So therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad, my flesh rest in hope, because thou would not leave my soul in hell. So why was David hoping for a resurrection? At what point? Why was he waiting for resurrection? Now we looked at Second Samuel chapter 7 from verse 1 to 17. We see Jesus. Not Jesus now, God, giving a promise to David. Please pay attention. God gave a promise to David, saying that of the fruit of his loins, he will raise up, pay attention, he will raise up a king. So that is from his lineage. God told David, from your lineage, I would make your son. Now, God was not specific about who the son was. That's if you read 2 Samuel now, 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 to 17. If you read that, all right, amen. So you discover that God said, your son will build my temple. And he said that that temple will be everlasting. The kingship of that king will be everlasting. The person will never die. He will forever be a king. And in my kingdom will I show deliverance. You see that? And I will bring all those... You know, if you read it, you have to go and read it on your own. Because we went through it last week. Alright? I will bring all of this to pass. So David knew. He knew that he would not die. So he said, I'm not going to die. So God, my flesh will rest in hope because I know you're going to resurrect me from the dead. You will not suffer your Holy One to see. So he's confused. What's happening here? But he knew that there was a resurrection somewhere. So he said, okay, you know what? My son is right here now. Solomon, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 29. It says, my son is here now. Solomon comes and then he tells Solomon, God asked me to build a temple. So you're going to build a temple, blah, 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 blah. And then Solomon said, oh, thank you, Father. Yes, yes, yes. He goes to build a temple. But then God said, listen, I never asked you guys to build me a temple. I've always been with you. Have I ever complained that I needed a temple, a dwelling place? That promise kept coming after until Jesus the King, the resurrection, that son of David, until that son of David came. So in his death, he died. Yes, he died. But you see, that did not leave his flesh in corruption. He had to rise again. So that's what now makes David a prophet. That's what he meant when he said David saw the Lord, saying that you would not leave him in hell. So David saw in a typology the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is it so important? It's so important because in that resurrection is the eternity of God's rulership or God's reign on this earth. The kingdom of God, the temple of God. That is that temple, that tabernacle that will dwell in the hearts of men. Where in those men, God will begin to exert his laws. Exert his law, begin to put in order the earth that was disorder, that was disorderly. God begins to walk through men and begins to put the world back to shape. Hallelujah. Back to shape. Some people think that the rapture will just happen, you know, without us being prepared. We are going to enter with Christ into the rapture. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we are all working together to make that to become a reality. Bringing back that kingdom. It's called a new creation. That word new means a renewed creation. It means to renew us to the kingdom of God, where the kingdoms of this world will then become the kingdom of God. So that is why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. It means that when you say Jesus is resurrected, watch this, it means that the power of God is now ruling over the affairs of men. When the winds of the world, when a king in this world decrees something, the king of the earth would go against it and abolish it and refute it. That is, the king of kings is in charge. The king of kings is on his throne. The king of kings now is in charge. You cannot have, that's why it says, go, I give unto you power. Let's look at it. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Okay, verse 18. Says, all power. Matthew's Gospel, all power. That word power, like I said, is the word exousia. Exousia, it means legal authority. It's like the word of a king. The word of a king. Whatever you say, that means he's resurrected. So why wouldn't Jesus say all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth? So as a believer, nothing in this world has power over you because Jesus is resurrected. The temple has been built. Hallelujah. The king is on his throne. He's at the right hand of the Father now. Hallelujah. So do you understand now what it means? So when they ask Peter, by whose authority do you do this? He says, by the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is alive now. The king is here. The kingdom has been established. So when he says that your kingdom come. No, your kingdom is here. Hallelujah. That is why we say evangelism is not to get people ready for a kingdom that is in the future. Evangelism is to bring that kingdom that is already available on this earth to the hearts of men. The kingdom is here, right? But in the hearts of men is where we need to bring it to. That God will reign over the hearts of men. I hope that's clear. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. So then, you hear some people say, the time of signs and wonders have passed. You know, those days where you lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover, those days are past. Those days where you're speaking tongues. You know, I even see some people mock charismatic gifts. Some of them are on Instagram. Their post is constantly critical about charismatic gifts. And I'm like, how do people who have seen a supernatural work of God, written and so sacred, and you look at it in awe and say, wow, God is so powerful. How can you with such a gift in your hands, have the audacity to even dare to believe that it does not work? Much more making a ridicule. You know, what a disgrace. What sacrilege. Why? You know, if it were better that you are not sure, but you still cannot have such boldness. It's like, let's say you have an ancestry of kings, and they have a staff that they hallowed, a staff that they passed down to their generation. And you know that staff, maybe in the modern world, you no longer need the staff. You know, a wise person would keep that staff and hallow it and say, this staff reminds me of the glory of my ancestors. Right? That's common sense. It's a stupid fool that does not have sense. You see that adjective? You see that description? A stupid fool that does not have sense. Only that person that would take that staff and begin to use it to play golf and say it doesn't mean anything. That was then. It was important then. Why do we have museums today? Because we understand the value of things, artifacts. We understand the value of these things. They don't ever lose value. So that is assuming you think that signs and wonders no longer exist. The fact that you've seen that God used signs and wonders to heal the sick, raise the dead, open blind eyes, to comfort has our money, to change, to make a soul who was dead come to life. That is in the supernatural. When you look at these things, you mock it. You say those praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking blah 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 blah, and you're mocking it. No. Say signs have passed. They call them cessationists. They are called cessationists. C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N-S-S. T-I-O-N-S, excuse me. Cessationists. Those are the people that believe that the signs that were worked in the book of Acts and in the days of the first century Christians or the apostles, they are all past. So they postulate or claim that only the 12 apostles were given the power to work signs and wonders. But after them, it ceased. That's a myth. That's like saying that the sky is white. The sky is green. You know? It's a myth. That's just what it is. It's not true. There's absolutely no evidence for that. Because time after time and time again, we see miracles. And it's not magic. We don't see magic. We see miracles. How do you explain someone who couldn't give birth and they give birth? Just because they prayed for them. Someone who had cancer and they prayed for them and the cancer disappeared. How do you explain someone who died? We prayed for them, they came back to life. What do you call that? How do you explain people who are diseased, afflicted, and they prayed for them and they came back? How do you explain limbs that were short, they grew them? How do you explain people who were sick, we prayed for them? You know, how do you explain the lame walking? How do you explain... I mean, you need to see Oral Roberts' miracles. That is miracles that make you stagger. You know, we have John G. Lake. We have so many of them. And you look at these things, I say they've ceased. Now, anyways, so what do we say from the word? What do we say from the word? Just this is what I always say anyways. Look at the book of Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 39. Or let's say verse 38 now. Hallelujah. In verse 38, Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Or let's start from verse 37. Yeah, amen. It says, Jesus said, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Now, look at verse 38 and 39. And John answered him and saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils, demons in your name, and he followed not us. We told him, stop that. You are not part of the apostles. You're not qualified to do miracles. He said, because he followed him. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is in our part. That means the power to do miracles is in the hands of the ones that believe in the name of Jesus. These were not part of the apostles. Neither were they even his disciples. These were simply people who were part of his meetings. They saw it and they said, ooh, I can do this too. And they went and cast out devils. The problem is, you were born into a world where these things have been dumbed down by all manner of worldly things. And that is why God is emphasizing on the need for us to go, to wake up and do things by the Spirit and not. I wrote today on social media. I said, no matter the amount of creativity we come up with, innovation, we can never achieve a supernatural thing by carnality. We can never. If it's not the Holy Ghost, it's not the Holy Ghost. If it's not the power of God, it's not the power of God. If it's not fire, it's not fire. If it's not God, it's not God. If it's not spirit, it's not spirit. Even if you put strings, you load strings and put it there. I say, if they hear strings, the spirit will move faster. If it's not God, it's not. They might get emotional. They might fall under the influence of the emotion and the hypnotism. Right? Because that's what many do, right? That's why if I'm ministering, I don't use music. I don't use music. I don't do it. Even if I'm praying for people, let it be silence. If you're praying, pray in the silence. I don't need music. Drums. Say what it says. Yes. When the music comes, everybody's prayer comes. No. We don't need to do that. Let it be that you started without the music and you ended without the music. Then we know that the power there was there. Hallelujah. You just thinking, Paul will just say, I want to go on evangelism now. I need some backup singers. Can I call some, Philip? Who is good at music here? Can you sing? Any apostle? Any apostle with the gift of singing? Can you please arrange backup singers? We need sound. We need drums. The Spirit of God needs music. Because the Bible says that when the musicians were ministering, we quote the Bible. So when they are ministering, that he said the presence, the glory of God filled the place. Sometimes, music. I can imagine Paul looking for backup singers to win souls. Say, we need money for the gospel. Yes, we do. But there are certain things you don't need to wait for. Hallelujah. You don't need to wait for certain things for you to go. Amen. Is God speaking to somebody? Hallelujah. Glory. You see? So that's the idea. The necessity is to preach. Paul says, woe unto me if I do not do what? If I don't preach. So that's the word. That's the word. That's the word. I don't need backup singers. I don't need sound equipment. Some people can't say, I just need strings. I can't flow without strings. No, strings just puts me in the prophetic. You need to check that prophetic. You need to check it. You need to check it. Seriously. You need to check that prophetic. Either you need to check it for yourself or for those who are hearing you. It's not something you want to do. You don't need that. Now, some people can do it with music. That is absolutely fine. But for you to think you cannot do without it, that's a problem. You need to check it. You really do. Hallelujah. Jesus will say, I need some backup singers. I need some, please, who can play keyboard, please? I came from heaven to save souls. All right? But I need some guys. If you know anybody that's good at dancing, talent, let's do some talent meets. As Jesus, I love the world, it's not all this religion, all this. Let's just stop all this, church. Let's just start, Just think. You know how funny it sounds? Just tells us how funny Jesus would find it today when we do it. That's the truth. Exactly how funny you find Jesus doing it is exactly how funny he finds you doing it. Because he knows that he's in you. The king is in control. His word is in his power. Hallelujah. So when people argue, it's because of the influence of the society, of the world we live in. I told somebody, I said, until I see that Christianity is known for its words, its preaching, than for its music, I will not think, I won't take us seriously. I'm not, you get what I mean by that, right? I mean, I desire to see where, when you hear of Christianity, just like when you hear of Islam, you don't think of music. You don't think, you know that Islam song, do you know that song? No, you don't, that's not what you think. When you think of Islamic doctrine, Buddhism, you know, you think of all these things. It's words. That is how to indoctrinate. If you desire to save souls that are real converts, genuine, that's what you do. You preach. You don't dance. When you see a demon, someone possessed, you will run away with your dance and your talent. Is it the madman of Gadara coming to approach you? Say, oh, let me use my talent for God now. Let me use my talent. Woo! Or let me sing. Oh, let your fire. Okay, maybe, you know, music is still word sound. That's still okay. That can probably pass. But yeah, you say, maybe I have the gift of art. I can draw. And when the demon possessed man is coming to you, you just start drawing. I am drawing heaven. I am drawing heaven. Heaven. Or you draw cross. Come on. That's how exactly how funny you see it is exactly how funny God finds it. Hallelujah. But if you know that if the madman that is possessed of a devil, when you see someone that is possessed, kapataliko bumba, ha, Jesus Christ, and the person is coming at you, what do you do? If you know that what will save you is the words of your mouth and the power of God that you are exposed to. When I say exposed to, means the power that you are conversant with, the power that you believe, the power that you have. You know, we all have the fullness of God, but you know, in much discipline, we are able to be skillful at administering that power. If you know that that's important, then give yourself to the important things. Give yourself to the important things. You can't be a believer and then you're not giving yourself to the study of God's word. You say you're a music minister. You say your own calling is to just write psalms. My calling. Anyways, God would help us in Jesus' name. You know, you're called. We are called to hear the word. Listen to the word. Grow in the word. Pray in the spirit. When you pray, kapa, kata, eka, oro, hoho, kata, letora, that crazy lunatic looking expression or demonstration that is potent. Scripture says when they looked at them, they thought they were drunk. Acts 2. They thought they were drunk. Say, this guy's not drunk. Peter says they're not drunk. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days I said, God, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So they were prophesying, but in a manner that was, you know, quite strange and funny. Looked like crazy people, drunken people, drunk people, actually. So there was a big mixture of laughter. Yeah. God is good, you know, such expression, halala, and this in ignorant people, when they see this, they say that's not the Holy Ghost. Have you seen the Holy Ghost before? What does it look like? They say that's not the Holy Ghost. How would they laugh so aggressively? It looks like a demon. That means you don't know the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that Jesus was praying. He prayed with so much agony. Probably as you saw him, you say, that's not the Holy Ghost. You can't pray like that. God is hearing you. Anyways, that's Jesus. Praise God. So have the signs ceased? No, they have not ceased, because it is for everyone that believes, today and forevermore. The signs are available. The signs are available. So why do we work signs and wonders? Why do we work signs and wonders? Now, we'll just quickly look at that that text. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Right? 2 Samuel chapter 7. Are you still there? 2 Katalabaya. Mango Rebo Shakaya. Chapter 7. All right. Second Samuel chapter 7, I just speak all right. Now look at verse let me see verse, I want to see where I can start from, just so I can all right. Okay, let's just start from verse 13. Verse 13 says, he is the one that's referring to the son of David that will build the temple of God. He's the one who will build a temple, a house, a temple for my name. I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct him and all of that. So we jump down to verse 16. It says, your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. So note that word security, right? So there's a security in this throne, in this temple of God, in this throne of Jesus, or in the throne of David, right? In the throne of David. When we say throne of David, we mean the fact that Jesus is in authority now, or right? He's king, okay? In the throne of David. That's where I'm stopping. So there's a sense of security, or we can also say salvation, or we can say perfection, security. So for example, now you see someone that is diseased, but you know that in the throne of God there is supposed to be security for all of them that dwell on the earth. That is the will of God. Okay, so when you look at someone that's exposed to it, you know that is close to death. You know that can never be in the kingdom of God. That can never be in God's throne, in David's throne. So what do? You exercise God's power of security over them. You are to secure them. That's why it's called salvation. Salvation, that sign is a physical demonstration of security. So when someone is sick, he's not secure. What do? You secure them in the name of Jesus. That's what it means to heal. That's why you must heal people that are sick. God can never tell you that I need them to be sick for my... Please, don't say that, because you don't understand God's kingdom. You don't understand the truth. Don't say that. Don't say, we are not sure. I was watching a series, which I can't mention the name, and I was right disappointed when... somewhere they have someone who was depicted as a disciple of Jesus, and then Jesus told him, he said, okay, I can see that you can't walk, one of your feet is impotent, but I'm going to leave that for you so that you'll be a witness to those people who will not be healed in your ministry. I want you to be a witness in your weakness. You know, your weakness is your witness. You know, all this crazy theology out there. You know, and I was like, where do you find this in the Bible? It's not even, we know that the scriptures, the four gospels are a summary, right? But we do not even see it in anything. So why don't you just stay with the narrative that I found? Why do you use the theology of today to explain something that preceded today when you are referring to that thing which was before? Why don't you just stay with the one before? What you know, what is today cannot be for what is before. Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, open, cleanse the lepers. That's security. In the kingdom of God, God does not say, I want them to, I want this sickness to, sometimes my healing doesn't come as physical healing. Sometimes I just want them to be saved. Let them just have that ailment. No, that's not security. It's not security for a man who is meant to be able to walk and run, right? To be impotent on his feet. It's not security for a man to be blind. It's not security. I met someone that said, oh, we're just different human beings. We're just biologically different. We are not necessarily impotent. I said, that's just a problem. You see, the things you hear on the media, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, friends who are listening to me, I beg you, I I ask you to not be influenced. Do not have a thinking pattern that is influenced by the social media. No. You're not being careful. It's not appropriate for you as an individual to thrive, especially as a child of God that knows, that has insight more than a typical man that walks on the earth. It's not the way. That's not true. The main narratives that pushed to us on social media are false. Approach to life, gender, race, whatever it is. Value, relationships, romance, everything. That is not the truth. You know, you can use social media for fun, entertainment, just carefully, with some, what's the word in English now? You know, circumspectly. Let's just use the King James word. You know, you can use that carefully, cautiously, but not to learn philosophy or to borrow understanding. No. Your understanding, first of all, must come from the Word of God. Your understanding must come from the Word of God. You know? I don't want to mention names anyways, because obviously this is just, I must focus on what we're doing here. Your understanding primarily must come from the Word of God. The Word of God is what the one who created you gave you, is what he gave us. So we follow it and then use that to, you know, and to sift the things we hear. Just be careful on social media. Just be careful. Amen. Hallelujah. How did I get there? You know? You see that? So, just as we close, anyways, I think I lost my thoughts. you know. So we don't see, when you see someone that's sick, God can never say to that person that, yeah, I was talking about the person that assumed that we are all biologically different. Someone who's blind is just biologically different. That's not true. That's absolutely wrong. Okay? And that was a Christian saying that, unfortunately. However, God helped him to reorient his mind. We talked and I corrected that nonsense. You know, Jesus wants us to establish perfection. When you see someone that is sick, God wants you to perfect that person. Don't use your experiences don't be discouraged by your experiences. Every person who has ever attempted miracles have failed at it many times. When I say failed at it, means you are learning. You are learning how to walk. The walk is of God. You are learning, for goodness sake. So that the fact that you've prayed for someone in the past does not mean God cannot heal them in the future. Even if they didn't get healed at that time, you prayed for them initially. No. You know that in the kingdom of God, this is the will of God. This is not God's will. And at a point, you just know that. At a point, why someone just say, something is happening to me. You don't even need to say anything again. You just say. And then when the person say, oh, wait, though, I think I'm healed. You didn't pray. But because there's a level of insight or power you've gotten to, yeah, certain things just happen. You know, begin to scriptures as we close. Look at the book of Acts chapter 8. As we close, evangelism has to be by the Spirit, not by the flesh, sir. Not by the flesh. Acts chapter 8. Verse 13. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. Not Acts 8, verse 13. Acts 8, verse 5. We'll look at verse 13 shortly. Acts 8, verse 5 says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. See, they were preaching. And the people with one, that is a multitude, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip preached, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So he preached and then he worked miracles. So along with preaching, we do what? Miracles. For miracles is when you go out. Miracles is not when you sit down in your house. It says, for unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many. See, when you're invited, see, there's no way you want to do it. Unclean spirits will shout. Crying out with loud voice came out, many of them that were possessed, and many taking in paralysis that were lame. Then verse 13 then says, it says, then Simon himself, that's the guy, we're going to see that in our next teaching anyways, the guy that was a magician, Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, he was amazed, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, the word signs there is the word semeion, and it means a sign, a mark, just something to say, okay, for example, this is what I mean, or like a token, a sign that, for example, when you see, when you're on the traffic, what is the sign for stop? Red. So that's a sign. So when you see something, say, okay, oh, I know what, oh, you mean I should stop. Or when you see a sign like, water is in this bottle. And then the water turns to wine. So this is what I'm trying to say. Okay, for example, God has given us power. He gave us power in his kingdom. There's an authority that we are given to, you know, be in authority over the things that he has created, both physical and supernatural. For example, water is in this bottle. And then you change it to wine. Just an example. You know, I heard of a pastor that, they had a sort of like a wedding or something like that. And then the people who were meant to bring wine to the event had a car crash, a motor accident. And, you know, all of that stuff happened, blah, blah, blah. So they told the pastor, they said, oh, stuff happened. We can't have the wines anymore in the wedding or the event. And then the pastor said, don't worry, it's okay. Everyone who's here, let's come back. So when it was time for the meeting, I said, everyone pick up your glass, put water inside, raise it up. He said, lift it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, he prayed, and then the water that was in there, it turned to wine. Hallelujah. That's just it's called a sign. Just a sign of something different, something supernatural, something behind it. It's a sign of something, that something exists. So when you see a doctor saying, what are your signs and symptoms? It means you're having cold, fever, all of that stuff. It means maybe there's malaria. Yeah, that's a sign. Okay. So when you see that someone is doing something different, you know that's a sign of something else. What is this? Where did this come from? How did you do this? Oh, you begin to explain that the Spirit of God is in you, and that Jesus, who died, arose again. God has made king, and all of those. He begin to explain the gospel to them. That's a sign. Then he said, by the magician saw a sign. So that means Philip was doing crazy things. Philip began to do stuff. I say, wow. You know, sign is not. It's not just for when there is a need. Signs can just be, so you can just demonstrate something. Someone was saying, I remember telling a sister, I was sharing with her that my first time when I grew limbs, I put it back. So when I was, then she said, oh, why would you do that when they don't need? No, it's called a sign. You know, if you don't practice it then, how would you practice it when there's a need? Hallelujah. What would you do when somebody cannot stretch forth his hand? Hallelujah. You think that the signs, the miracles that Jesus did, he didn't practice it? Kakata. I was like, but Jesus was born. Mm-mm. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and in stature. Hallelujah. Jesus had to perfect even the works. Yeah, Jesus grew. He grew. It means that there are times where Jesus will pray for something and then, you know, he will pray again. You see, Jesus will tell you, this kind does not go out by prayer, but by prayer. Which means he learned that prayer is important. So when you see someone that is prayerful, a person knows the power. He knows why he's praying. So when someone that is not prayerful, no, he doesn't know. He never see anything. Now why he know they pray? Hallelujah. That's why he's not praying. That's why he's not prayerful. Because he has not seen anything. He doesn't know what prayer can do. When you know what prayer can do, you will pray. When you know, when you see the difference between when you pray and when you don't pray, you will pray. So Jesus means Jesus learned certain things. He fasted for a reason. Ah, so say, you don't need to fast. No, Jesus fasted. It means that he learned something about fasting. He learned. So he said miracles, signs were done by the hands of Philip. And miracles, the word miracles is the word dunamis. It means inherent power. But it's just not just dunamis. It's the word dunamis megas genomai. It means to make great things to exist. That means probably someone didn't have a hand. And then boom, a hand shot out. Hallelujah. Someone didn't have an eye. And then boom, eye came out. That's a great things to exist. That means he made things to exist. Genomai. To make something to exist. That is for things to happen. Things to be created. More like it's not just I won't say creative miracles actually. Hallelujah. So in our evangelism, we go with even creative miracles and great, that is ridiculous demonstrations. There's no limit to it. If you say bring sand and we are looking for sugar, bring the sand, turn it to sugar. These are the things we are talking about. That is sign. Miracles. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the power. So imagine doing this and then thinking of sharing ice cream. See, I would rather you are just you're a teacher, you're a preacher. You just teach. You are a master of the logic. You can defend it well. That is, you go out with skillful teaching than going to waste your money with, I don't know, with comedy events in the name of attracting people to hear Jesus. Jesus is not less potent than comedy. Comedy is not potent where Jesus is. Don't help Jesus. Give them the Jesus. Jesus, he's not an idol, sir. He's not an idol. You only fight for your idol. Allow him to fight for himself. Go and preach. He says, don't you know that you will judge angels? Why can't you go and judge the world? You will judge angels, principalities. That's angels. Amen. That's what I say. Anyways, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We decree this year that we'll see ourselves. We'll grow much more in the workings of miracles. I don't know about you, but guys, we're getting to a time where we're going to expose ourselves to learn. Expose ourselves to practice. We'll be vulnerable to fail. Vulnerable to also learn from our failures. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are vulnerable to learn God's word and to believe it. Remove doubt from our minds as we grow much more in the comprehension of the word. The depth of his word. Hallelujah. I thank God I've seen miracles. You can't make me. You can't. I'm at a point. Let's not speak of myself. But yeah, it's not. I'm not. You can't make me. You can't. Yeah, Debash. Ebo. You see. Miracles. I do miracles. I don't explain miracles. Amen, amen. We do miracles. That's what we do. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you pray and they say it did not work, it is not possible. We will pray again. We'll pray. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Father, we decree that we grow much more in the power of your word. We help us, O Lord, to grow much more in this and to be given to your word and to your ministry. Help us to evangelize. As we go with us. Go with us, God. Let your word be confirmed with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Are you blessed? Amen.